It's always good to listen to what God is doing. You sit down if you want. You might be up here for a long time.
Okay. I'm just having a note to see what I'm going to do next.
All right. Going to pick a different song. So it's good to hear what God is doing. And it's important, I think, that as a church family, we share as much as we can. You know, I know some of the things that are going on in people's lives, but I don't know everything. God does, and you do. And it's good sometimes just to bring that to family because it's really encouraging. Have you been encouraged this morning by what God is doing? And we need to do that more often. So thank you so much to everyone who shared this morning. It's been really encouraging. As a leader, what we're looking for is God to actually impact your lives, to do something, to make a difference, to impart some new stuff into you. And it's been so good to hear what you've been doing and going through with God this year. He says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe that. We believe that all the stuff we read about in the Word is actually, it's for us now and for us in the future. And we just want to sort of encourage you to continue sharing what God has done. One of the things that kind of popped into my mind while I was down there, just worshipping, is the fact that God never changes. But is God talking to you? Has he got that contact with you where he's speaking to your heart? Where he's making a difference? Where you're going through stuff and God is part of that? Or do we exclude God and try and work it out on our own? It's really important that sometimes we get challenged by what we hear, the testimonies of others. But is God speaking to you? This year, or next year, in a few days it'll be next year, this church has been in existence for 75 years. It's our 75th birthday next year. Has anybody been coming for 75 years? No? Beryl, how long have you been coming?
48.
I think is that the longest? Oh, well, Lynn's been coming for 75 years, haven't you? 55 years. Amazing. Amazing. So we're 75 years old, and over that period of time, church has changed enormously, hasn't it? The style of church, the way we do things, the way we understand our faith, the way we outlive our faith has been transformed. But the message never changes. It's the same message from 75 years ago as it is this year. And so I just want to encourage us as a church, because good things are always happening. Good things are always happening. But I want to encourage you and ourselves as a church, that we have this gift that is an amazing gift, and it's our responsibility to share it to those around. So I want to talk a little bit about the gift that we've received, and it's really important that we understand the gift, because if we don't understand the gift, we can't use it, we can't give it away. We've just celebrated, haven't we, coming through Christmas, and we've made it through another year. Well done. Feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? We get so busy that we almost, sometimes I just want it all to be over because I want to start new life again. But we receive gifts, and it's a joyous time for children particularly as they gently unopen their presents, rip them open, seeing what they've got. And there's such a joy, isn't there, about being a parent and seeing the joy on your children's faces as they've received those things that they have asked for. I always find the biggest stress is buying presents, to buy the right present for the right person. And we've given up with that one as parents and grandparents. Just go and buy something and we'll pay for it. It's much easier that way. But we know that sometimes the boxes can be more attractive than what's in them. You know, you get some real fancy boxes, don't you? And little boys particularly like big presents. Don't matter what's in it, they just want a big box to open so that it always looks more important than little boxes. But have you ever received a gift and you didn't even know what it was? I have. I've received a few, particularly off Amy, my daughter. She buys really unusual things. And one year I got a mat that when you rolled it out, it had a load of spikes on it. I didn't know what it was. It didn't come with any instructions. So what do you do with something you don't know what it is? And so I had to ask her what it is. Anyhow, apparently you had to lie on it. A really pleasant experience. I did try it once or twice, and that was it. But it was like one of those massaging things that we got. So we can have presents sometimes, or gifts, and we don't know what they are. And we've just come through this period of remembering and celebrating probably the greatest gift on earth, the birth of Jesus Christ. Even people who don't understand it or believe it, celebrate it. I've written down here, that used to really irritate me. That people are joining in on our party and they don't believe it or they don't understand it. But I've come to understand that this gift is for not just for me, but it's for everybody. And they've not yet understood what the gift is. As believers, we've received this amazing gift and we've applied it to our lives. And as we look forward to 2025, we've had a talk, we do talk about stuff at leadership level. And we're just planning next year, we're planning 2025. What are we going to do? What is our aims and objectives for next year? And this next year, we want to focus on giving away the gift that we have received. Passing it on, sharing it with others. Because it's such a precious and life-transforming gift. And we want to do that. We want to give it away. And I asked myself a question just in preparing for this. And this is personal to everybody. He says, is what I've got worth giving away? Is what I'm living, is what I'm experiencing, is my relationship with God in such a place that actually I can give it away? Or is it worth giving away? See, as believers, we're told to go into all the world and make disciples, to be God's witnesses everywhere we go. And there's no better evangelist than someone who believes in their product. I don't know whether you've ever met family or friends and they've bought something and they are so enthusiastic about it. They're so evangelistic about this thing that they've got that's changed their lives that sometimes they influence us to go and do the same thing. Their enthusiasm is infectious and easily caught. A few years ago, we ran a series of studies here called Contagious Christianity. The overriding message was that our living experience of Christ has got to be authentic and contagious. In other words, we impact those around us. They catch it off us. We've got to live in such a state, in such a spiritual state, in such a relationship with God where it becomes contagious and people around us are just catching this thing even though they don't know what it is. For many who don't have a faith in God, they don't experience a living witness of all that God is. They don't understand God. And often they receive the wrong message from religious people. They receive the wrong message from church and often are rejected. And we often hear the phrase, call yourself a Christian. Has anybody ever said that to you? It's funny how they don't believe in God, but suddenly they know how you should be living. Call yourself a Christian. You've just done this. You've just said that. Call yourself a Christian. It's when someone who professes to be a believer, a Christian, doesn't behave like one, and we're spotted instantly. One of the things that inspired me many years ago, I've put as a younger man, I've now been the leader here for 17 years, I think, which is an amazing thing. It only feels like sort of 4 or 5 years. But what inspired me to be involved in church leadership and take on this role was that if the church, that is each of us, lived a Christian life, then the world would respond to God in a different way. They need to see it. And when I read in the New Testament about the early church and how powerful it was in community, he said that awe fell on them. They were in awe. They were awestruck about what was happening in the church. And it was a huge witness. And thousands of people were added to the church daily because it was so powerful. We would demonstrate who God is in our lives and be his witnesses, transforming the lives of those around us. There's many reasons why this doesn't happen. But as we begin a new year, we want to be more intentional about the way we live out our faith. You know, it's great that God blesses us. It's great that God is involved in our lives. He speaks to us. But what he's trying to do is prepare us for works. Prepare us for good works. So he deals with who we are. He breaks into our lives and he begins to change us and transform us so that we can be his witnesses everywhere we go. And it says in that scripture that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. It's almost like when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will be his witnesses. You won't be able to help it because there is something working in us that's transforming us that is evident to everybody about. Many of us as believers feel unfulfilled in our relationship with God. And when I think about the reasons why we don't display the fullness of God, I think we're deceived by the enemy into undervaluing the gift that has been given to us. And what I want to do this morning is just look at this amazing gift that God has given to us, because it's worth living, it's worth talking about, and it's worth sharing with others. So we're going to look at the gift of salvation, what it is, how we receive it, and what it means to each of us. It's always good to reevaluate our relationship with God. It's something we do at the end of every year. We make New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff. But it is good to reflect on ourselves and just look at our growth, to look at our relationship with God, and to begin to put things in place that mean we continue to grow and mature in our faith. Often we get caught up in life, don't we? And we've heard testimonies this morning about how complicated, how difficult life can be. And if we focus on that, we take our eyes off God and we can be overwhelmed by circumstances. But we want to learn how to live through difficulties, keeping our eyes on God and allowing him to be the center of everything we do and everything that we think. We don't want to live mediocre Christian lives. Together, we want to live a victorious, overcoming life that bears witness to the greatest gift on earth. At the birth of Christ, he was declared as Emmanuel, God with us. And that really displays the heart of God. He wants to be with us. He wants to be living in us. He wants to be sharing his life with us and we sharing our life with him. He wants to have that relationship with us. When Jesus was around, he was demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. He would openly speak about the need for sin to be forgiven and to have a personal relationship with God. And this was a new covenant that included Gentiles, because up to that point, the Jews were the nation that God was in relationship with. But after Jesus passed and rose again, we see that the Gentiles, that's us, were able to access all that God had. He said to the people, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." In other words, if you believe what I'm saying, if you put your trust in me, you don't need to have religious prayers, religious rules. Just come and believe in me because I make it easy for you. My burden is light. It was a new way for people to connect with God. And salvation deals with the root of man's separation from God. The sin brought into the world by the first Adam was dealt with forever by the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ. We can't get to God in any other way. He says that I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can't earn our salvation. It's freely given to us. But we must recognize our need for God and forgiveness and confess our sin and allow him to be our saviour. For some, that's a really easy thing to do. Some people come to faith very easily. And some, it's a bit of a battle. It's a bit of a journey. But God never, ever leaves. He's always speaking to us. And if we're looking for him, he says that we will find him. Often pride gets in the way. Denial of sin. Are you calling me a sinner? Oh, yeah. Because we're full of sin. We are born with sin. And doubt about who God is won't allow God into their lives. And religion covers this very often. You live by a set of rules and regulations, and it kind of frees us up from actually having to believe in God and have that personal relationship with him. But the gift of salvation is the biggest gift we could ever receive for this life and the life to come. Like any gift, we must look after it, cherish it, and use it for its purpose. There's just a couple of scriptures I want to read, which are very powerful, very strong. They speak really into our hearts. As believers, God is speaking into our heart and just reminding us of the importance of the gift that we've been given. Philippians 2. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is working in us for his purpose, not for ours. And very often that's a challenge because we want to do things our way and God wants to do them his way. He wants to do good things in our lives, but we've got to be in that relationship with him where we allow him to do that. And so we've got to work out our salvation. It's not a gift that is given on day one and that's it. We've got to work it out. What does that mean for me? How's that going to outwork in my life? What does it mean I've got to do? Have I got to change the way I think? Have I got to change the way I act? God is always challenging us. And we have to work it out with God. Work it out. Sit down with God and talk to him and listen to what he's got to say. Hebrews 2 says this. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. There is plenty of evidence around that God is working. And we can't ignore it. How shall we escape if we ignore this salvation that God has given to us? It is such a precious thing. But human nature is that we just kind of get on with it and forget God. But we can't ignore it. We've got to allow God into our lives. We've got to be intentional about that. Our salvation, as I've said, is a growing gift. We are saved from our sin. And now we have peace with God who lives in us. I think from my own experience, when I eventually gave in to God, which was a bit of a battle. I mean, I was brought up in church. My dad was a minister. And it took me a long time to work out some of this stuff. And eventually, I conceded. I allowed God into my heart. And at that moment, I just had this amazing sense of peace. I'm at peace with God. And so when we talk about love, joy, hope, and peace at Christmas time, the peace that God wants to bring into our hearts is the fact or the knowledge or the experience of him living in us and bringing his peace into our heart. What that means is we can go through any circumstance and have his peace. We can face anything and have his peace in our heart. And it's almost a peace that defies logic. It says, you know, the peace that God gives will do that. You know, you're going through hard stuff and everybody's going, but why are you so peaceful? It's because God is living in me. That's the amazing gift of salvation. God has started something in you and in me, and he wants to complete it. So I don't know where you are on your journey of faith, but we are never completed. He is always completing us. But his heart, his Emmanuel, his God living in us, God with us, wants to complete the work in you. We are being changed. We are a new creation being created almost every day. We are being rebirthed, if you like. We are growing in God. We are facing new growth. We are being changed daily. We're to bear fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And display the wisdom of God. That's be his witnesses. We are displaying the wisdom of God. The wisdom that sent Jesus to this earth. The wisdom that allowed Christ to die for us and rose again, overcoming the power of sin and death. I think last time I spoke, we talked about the fact that to people is just like, it doesn't make any sense at all. How can that possibly work? But it's God's wisdom, and we display it in the way that we live. We are also reconciled with God. And it says we have the ministry of reconciliation. So this means that as we live our lives, we can introduce people to God. We can reveal God to them. We can reconcile them. We can be that person that opens up their heart to want to listen to what God has got to say. And throughout this year, we'll revisit this topic. But it's important that we understand the gift that we have been given. It's an amazing gift. It's life-changing. It's something that is so precious to us. And I don't want us to undervalue what the gift of salvation is. Many of us have been on the way for a long time. We kind of get used to it. But let's have a refreshing in our heart about this amazing gift that God has given to us so that we can take it to those out there and be his witnesses every time we go out the house. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you for this amazing gift that you've placed in our heart, this relationship we have with you. And just as we look forward to a new year, I pray that you will refresh us, that you will renew us, you will do new things in us. And for those that are struggling with their faith journey, just break into their hearts, Holy Spirit, and minister to them, that we might be your witnesses everywhere we go. Thank you.